This week's Something Wild podcast is sponsored by Pelletieri Associates, an award-winning team of landscape architects celebrating over 30 years of land planning, fine gardening, masonry, poolscapes, and maintenance services throughout New England, and a proud supporter of NHPR.
Hey, Chris Martin here from New Hampshire Audubon, and this is Something Wild.
Okay, so let's talk about the birds themselves. So I mentioned that there's three species of terns that I'm hoping we're going to see today.
That's Dr. Elizabeth Craig, Tern Conservation Program Manager at Shoals Marine Lab, a research station just off the New Hampshire coast on the Isles of Shoals. The lab itself is on Appledore Island, and that's where Liz is prepping us for our island hopping adventure. The three terns we'll be looking for are
the common tern, the roseate tern, and the Arctic tern. All three of them are long-lived. They can live, 10, 20, sometimes 30 years. They're all long-distance migrants. This group of birds are some of the longest-distance migrants in the world.
These rocky islands, 5 miles out from Portsmouth, are the only breeding site in the state for these remarkable birds. Shortly after Liz's talk, we board one of the lab's large inflatables and head to White and neighboring Seavey Islands, home to one of the largest tern colonies in the Gulf of Maine. On the short ride over, project leader Jen Seavey marvels at the tern's incredible migration distances.
Over its lifetime, it flies to the moon and back 3 times. 1.5 million miles.
Outrageous.
A 4-ounce bird.
Those are stats for the Arctic tern, only a few of which nest here. But White Island is now home to over 3,000 pairs of common terns, which are on New Hampshire State Threatened List, and nearly 100 pairs of federally endangered roseate terns, too. When New Hampshire Fish and Game and New Hampshire Audubon began restoration 20 years ago, there weren't any terns at all. After disembarking, Liz leads us through rocky outcrops just above the shoreline, a mix of herbaceous plants like beach pea, bindweed, and rose bushes. Punctuated by the ever-present foghorn of White Island's iconic lighthouse, Liz tells us a bit more about what we're going to see.
This part of the colony is almost all common terns.
I'm surprised how mobile those tiny little chicks are. They really scramble around.
So even on day zero, they can leave the nest cup. They are already fluffy and open-eyed on day zero, the day that they're hatched. And so one of the challenges we have is monitoring them because they are so mobile.
Before we enter the breeding area, Liz pauses to provide us with some useful equipment.
I'm going to go get you guys some hats.
She returns with an assortment of wide-brimmed straw hats, which will protect us from the tern's sharp beaks and, in turn, see what I did there? Protect the terns from us. Adults will hover and dive and administer sharp pecks on the scalp to deter intruders who get too close. And my rain jacket keeps airborne tern poop off my clothes. Now suited up, Liz relays the rules for walking through this swarm of ground nesting birds.
And as we're walking through there, what we'll do is we kind of go in single file, and the first person who goes, woo, poop. The first person who goes, if they see an egg sort of in our path, you point to the person behind you and say, here's an egg. When you're walking through any bird colony, you never, ever put your foot down unless you watch exactly where you're putting it. It can be kind of scary. Not everybody enjoys the experience of having a whole horde of birds attacking them. It's wild, but it can be a little scary.
As we edge across the rocks, passing nests with eggs and tiny chicks at every step, Liz bends down and picks up one of the camouflage chicks.
You want to hold them just make a little cage out of your hand.
Oh my gosh.
So that's probably about one day after hatch.
This one maybe 3 or 4.
She cradles this living puffball in her hand and begins taking its vitals.
Okay. So we measure the wing cord on the right wing. All right. You want to band this bird?
Over the course of the summer, Liz and her techs banded 240 tern chicks. These tiny ID bracelets are one way that biologists across the region know where terns go, how long they live, and whether they'll return to nest on these same islands in years to come. I'm Chris Martin. Something Wild is produced by Andrew Perella and is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR.
I'm Sam Evans-Brown, host of Outside In.
I'm Andrew Perella. I produce Something Wild. I got to do my intro again because I stumbled over my own intro. So today's topic? New Hampshire's state bird.
The purple finch. You know, I am really sure that if I saw a purple finch, I wouldn't know that I had seen it, which I would not know if I saw it on the street.
I feel like I've probably tripped over it and not realized that it was there.
I can't wait for the birder outrage. You can't identify a purple finch. Are you a joker?
When you become a new sustaining member of NHPR Today at just $10 a month, we'll send you a pair of NHPR socks plus a lovely mug that features...
the purple finch! Sorry. I'm so excited about delivering that line. That's all I had. The purple finch with its subtle purple glory. It's even better than seeing one in real life. So how can I get mine?
The glorious way to do it is to go to NHPR.org. Is that any good? Are we just making it worse?